Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome into Wednesday. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. And boy, the world is has gone crazy on us again, hasn't it? We got Mark Levin and Steve Bannon about to get in a cage match. I'm not sure who would win that, to be real honest with you. But it's kind of been fun to watch. I'll just have to admit, the infighting is not great. I'm not quite sure who some of these people are. I've just got to be honest with you. I've always liked some of what Bannon's had to say. I used to like some of what Candace Owens has to say. These two people hate Israel, and I don't get it. I just cannot wrap my brain around these folks on my side of the aisle who've decided that Israel is a bad guy. They're in the same camp with Joy Reid right now.
Well, what's even more,
think about that.
What's even stranger to me is that Candace Owens is an outspoken Christian.
I
understand that maybe you don't like every single thing that Israel's doing. That's one thing. But she really seems to, like you said, really dislike them. And it's biblical. That's what really blows my mind. I'm just very confused by some of the things that Candace Owens has been saying lately, because I've always liked her. And ever since the whole split with Daily Wire, it's been weird.
Well, I'm with you on that. Welcome into the show, by the way. That's Kim. I'm Mark. We got Ethan sitting over here. We'll have Sue Thomas along a little bit later. The ceasefire, as it is holding. That was not the case 24 hours ago when we went on the air. They were still shooting rockets at each other. But from what we can tell this morning, it's holding. And we just got confirmed that we're going to get you a live report from Tel Aviv with Mike Tobin, the Fox News correspondent, coming up here in about an hour at 6:22. Of course, the president is in the Netherlands right now for this NATO summit. He just announced a big win because since his first term, he's been pushing for everybody to pay their fair share. That is the old Barack Obama line. Everybody needs to pay their fair share. Of course, when Barack says that, he's talking about taxing the hell out of anybody who makes income to give it to people who don't. That's generally what he's talking about. In NATO's case, it's the fact that the United States has been subsidizing their defense, the defense of these European nations, for years. And like USAID and all these other fraudulent programs, the American leadership, for some reason, was just willing to look the other way and go, okay, well, so what? It's the price we pay for being the United States. No, it's not. No, it's not. Chip in your fair. What we did for all those years was subsidize European socialist democracies. They didn't have to worry about their defense like the United States does, because they had the United States on their side. They had the big brother was going to step in if anybody got out of line in Europe. They didn't need to worry about it. So they spent their money on social programs, free college, free housing, letting people retire at 55. I mean, it just, the whole litany of programs and things that are wrong with big government, we've been subsidizing in Europe for years. So that's a big victory this morning for Donald Trump to announce that NATO has agreed to at least pressure its members to pay at least 5% of their GDP. It used to be 2%. Now they want them to chip in 5% to offset the cost of a peacekeeping force, which, I got to be honest, I've never seen NATO troops do a whole lot in a long time. It's usually the U.S. pushing those things. But you got to have some stake in. Maybe it's what's happened in Ukraine that has pressured them as well. I would hope so. But that's a lot going on. Plus, now FEMA, Kim, has opened up local resource centers here in St. Louis. And we're going to talk to John Mills coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. I used to work with John at Channel 4 for a number of years. And like Mike O'Connell, who's now with the Department of Public Safety for the state as a chief spokesman for them, John has gone on to work for FEMA. and he works in Region 7, which covers this area. And he's going to be down at St. Louis Police Headquarters this morning talking more about this FEMA relief center that they've got set up here. So we'll be able to drill down with John on what some of the particulars are, maybe what amounts of money are being made available, what kind of resources FEMA brings to the table for people still struggling from all of the tornado damage that we had back in May. So a great show. We got lots of stuff. We got the Attorney General on this morning in the 8 o'clock hour. Andrew Bailey is going to call us. Now I'm going to have a little bone to pick with him here because he's been in studio. He was in studio with Annie Fry yesterday, in studio, but he didn't want to get up early enough to come in here. Like, what's the deal?
That's my question. 808's not that bad.
I'm just kidding. We're glad to get the Attorney General on. We'll talk to him in the 8 o'clock hour. Ethan, let's get to, hold on here just a minute. Let me get caught up because I hand Ethan a sheet and I tell him what I'd like to have in the short list, and then of course he plays it, unless of course I put on there that I'll play one of them, and then I find myself ill prepared here to do that. So let me get to my. Oh, here it is. Okay, I'm ready to go when you're ready to go.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
This, Caitlin, and I don't understand why this is such a hard thing for CNN or other people to celebrate the victory that the United States just achieved. We have.
Yeah, thank you. Senator Mark Wayne Mullen on with Caitlin Collins of CNN. Well, she says, how can you prove that we really damaged their nuclear facilities? Good Lord, Caitlin, we dropped 13 or 14 30,000-pound bombs on these facilities. Even if they can get them reopened at some point, they've suffered a serious setback in their nuclear program.
HRES 537 has been filed because I believe that the President of the United States has committed an impeachable act.
All right. One of the top 10 dumbest congressmen, that's Al Green, trying to impeach Donald Trump over doing the exact same thing Barack Obama did. Al was weirdly quiet when all that happened, and we were lobbing bombs all over the world under Barack Obama. But now he wants impeachment, and the House overwhelmingly shut him down.
It is ridiculous for anyone to assert that the commander-in-chief, using his Article II power under the Constitution, should have to consult all the members of Congress or even all the leadership in Congress every time he has to make a decisive, quick action. I mean, that would not be feasible.
No, it wouldn't. Jasmine Crockett's been going sideways. She wants to know why she has not been given a top secret briefing on what happened yet. She's demanding the answer to that, and Mike Johnson's like, that's ridiculous.
I've been a Democrat since I was old enough to vote, you know, but I'm barely hanging on. If Jasmine Crockett is the most effective fighter, give me Jasmine Crockett. Mm-hmm. And I really don't care what you have to move around or who you have to disappoint in order to give me her. Just give me her because we need a leader.
There is no joy in Whoville. Did you know that, Kim St. Ange? That's Joy Reid. Joy got fired from MSDNC because she was so crazy. And now they've enveloped, they have wrapped their arms around her, and they brought her into the envelope of CNN. She was on with Abby Phillips yesterday, spewing her nonsense. She loves the socialist nut job, Mom Donnie, who's about to become the mayor of New York City, a socialist Muslim who supports Palestine and swears he will arrest Benjamin Netanyahu if he ever comes to New York, where the United Nations happens to reside, has about to be elected mayor of the biggest city in America. Is that not it? In the light of everything that's happened in the past year with Trump winning and us turning all of these different stupid things around, we have lost our biggest cities. We've lost them. To this kind of insanity.
That's what's really dumbfounding to me is you have repeated behavior. Like, things aren't going well, and then they just, like right here in the city of St. Louis, you elect somebody who basically is a carbon copy of the other person.
They double down.
And what is that quote? I mean, it's stupidity if you're doing the same thing and you're expecting different results.
The definition of insanity is the same thing and expecting different results.
And that's what's happening.
Oh, my God. He's gonna socialize grocery stores. The city's going to own them so they can give people food at a reasonable price. He's such a moron. He's just a moron. He's a socialist. Everywhere on earth that socialism has been tried, it has failed. And the idiots in New York might elect this guy mayor. Now, I don't know who the Republican candidate is. Yesterday, he won enough votes in their stupid ranked choice election to basically he'll be the winner of the Democratic primary now. I think Cuomo basically said, I give. Who's the Republican? Have you even heard a Republican name? Mm-hmm. I don't even know who the Republican is. It'll be just like the city of St. Louis. It won't matter who has an R after their name. They're not going to win.
It's a waste of money, unfortunately. Yes. Wasn't it Bill Clinton who came out and endorsed Cuomo recently?
Yeah. Cuomo was his director of housing and urban development. Andrew Cuomo, I'll repeat for those of you new to the program or just slow learners, Andrew Cuomo is the reason that the economy melted down in 2007. Period. End of discussion. He and Bill Clinton own the fact that our economy melted down in 2007. As a director of HUD, Andrew Cuomo expanded. He wanted to expand home ownership, so he demanded the banks loosen up all their regulations and give loans to people who otherwise would never have qualified. They soaked the market with unqualified homeowners who then defaulted on their loans. These big banks tried to consolidate the bad debt, and it sank the market. That's what happened. That's what happens when you let insane people run your government. It was a stupid idea to begin with. We were all critical of it when it happened. But those same people are still seeking high office. Like, I'm glad Andrew Cuomo didn't win, but he would have been a better alternative than this guy that just won. I just have to say that in New York, and is likely the next mayor. New York City is going to be a hellhole. People are going to be fleeing New York City, and that means all the multi-millionaires who live there are going to move across the river somewhere just to get away from it. They're not going to be able to pay for basic services before long in New York City. Just wait for it. They'll be bankrupt in just 4 or 5 years at this rate. No doubt about it. All right, we'll get to a quick break here.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'd like to see a deal with Russia. As you know, Vladimir called me up. He said, can I help you with Iran? I said, no, I don't need help with Iran. I need help with you. And I hope we're going to be getting a deal done with Russia.
Yeah. Donald Trump, president of the United States there, is on fire. I don't know how else to put it right now. He's mad at CNN and the New York Times. Of course, these are people who've never accomplished anything in their entire miserable lives. You have to understand that. These members of the media want to immediately go out and they think they're going to do a boots on the ground, in-person inspection of these sites that were obliterated by our bombs so that they can come back and report, well, you know, Donald Trump may have dropped 14 bombs, but it didn't do anything. They seem to celebrate. They want to celebrate and find some failure in what has been a spectacular success, no matter how you look at it. It's been a spectacular success. Let's assume for a moment, and this is what they've been reporting on, you know, CNN, the New York Times, that the Iranians took whatever amount of plutonium they've enriched and they loaded it on a truck, which probably glows like a lightning bug, and they drove it out of this facility before we bombed the facility. I'm not a nuclear engineer, as Jimmy Carter used to say, but I do understand that you have to have the right kind of lab and handling ability to handle plutonium to begin with and uranium, and in certainly to enrich it, you have to have the ability to do that. So having a truck filled with some degree of enriched uranium is not the same as having a facility where you could weaponize enriched uranium. It's also not the same as having an intercontinental ballistic missile you could use to deliver that uranium bomb to your worst enemy in the world, which would be the great Satan, which is us, or Iran, which is or Israel, which is the little Satan in their minds. We have set them back decades in their ability to do those two things. Nobody questions that except CNN and the New York Times. You have Trump derangement syndrome, and this is what they have to spend their time working on. Listen to Mark Wayne Mullen. I love when you got somebody out there who's willing to speak the truth to these people in the media.
Thanks for being here tonight. You heard the majority leader there saying he has not seen intelligence to confirm that Iran's nuclear program was obliterated. Have you seen any of that?
Actually, that isn't exactly what he said. He said you need to ask the question to Tom Cotton, who sits on Intel. I'll tell you, the reports that we've received is that this was a complete success. I mean, you think about this, Caitlin, and I don't understand why this is such a hard thing for CNN or other people to celebrate the victory that the United States just achieved. We had 30 Tomahawk missiles. We had 14 30,000-pound bombs delivered on target and on time. We had no detection, no boots on the ground, complete mission success with Midnight Hammer. And this is a victory that we should celebrate for the simple fact, Caitlin, that the world is safer because Iran cannot develop their nuclear weapon.
Period. End of argument. The world is safer because of what Donald Trump did. If it wasn't, you would hear Saudi Arabia, and you would hear a bunch of Arab nations all standing up defending Iran. But those are mostly, if you think of Saudi Arabia, you think of Qatar. These days, if you think of Jordan, to be honest with you, I mean, they're right next door down there to Israel. They're not the ones causing the problem. These are people with some sense of some little bit of common sense. They don't want to be at war. And they know that the biggest risk of war in the world is Iran having a nuclear weapon. Everybody understands that. Why they're not raising more hell about this.
We've seen the aerial shots, and it looks, from those, the before and after, looks like there is substantial damage. I guess, is the argument that they were below ground, and so they're saying, did it really penetrate the actual area where they're holding all this uranium and other things to basically make these nukes?
Kim, they want it to be like Top Gun Maverick, where they went in and they blew up that underground facility because they hit just like when Han Solo or when Luke Skywalker blew up the Death Star. He had to go in that narrow little tunnel, and he had to get the shot to go down that air vent. And then as he flew away, the Death Star exploded in the background. And because they don't have that shot, they don't think it was a success. But it was a success any way you cut it. We're going to be back with Kim on a Whim in just a minute.
Is moving forward with plans to build a new immigration detention center in the Everglades. Attorney General James Utmeyer announced that the federal government approved a plan to build what officials are calling Alligator Alcatraz. The 1,000-plus bed facility will be at an abandoned airport surrounded by wetland, pythons, and alligators. Utmeyer calls it a one-stop shop to carry out Trump's deportation operation.
Oh, I cannot wait to see this getting built. Alligator Alcatraz. I know this has been in the works for a while, but now, as you just heard, the federal government has officially approved it. Now, I think she said a 1,000-bed detention center, but I've seen articles that say a 5,000-bed detention center smack dab in the Everglades, and it's surrounded by alligators and pythons. So I don't know how stupid you'd have to be trying to escape, but if you do, you probably won't make it very far.
So is it temporary? Or would it be a permanent facility?
No, I think this would be permanent.
Because that's going to take a while to build.
Well, and that's the thing. So right now they're basically saying they're trying to get this up and running at the beginning of July, which is next week. And so the attorney general has said that they're going to be setting up temporary tents and trailers. So in the next 2 weeks, you're going to see some movement there where they're trying to at least be able to, I guess, house some of these people. Because it's not just these illegals from Florida. They're planning on being able to detain illegals from across the country. Now, part of the argument right now that they're going back and forth with is the buying of this property. So the counties in that area, they own it. And I know that DeSantis had sent some letter of intent from the state saying that they wanted to purchase the land from Miami-Dade County for $20 million. And then the mayor came back and said, whoa, this should actually be valued closer to $200 million.
In the middle of the Everglades?
In the middle of the Everglades.
Come on.
I'm so curious about this.
The city ought to donate it.
If they have an opportunity to make millions and millions of dollars. Now, of course, the environmental groups have already come out against this. I'm waiting for, they're probably mad that it's going to put the alligators and the pythons at risk. I'm sure PETA will be out there angry too, saying protect the gators and the pythons.
It'll be the same group of assorted idiots who fought to have the workhouse shut down and ultimately succeeded because of the progressive vacuum we live in the city, because they're worried that the inmates might be uncomfortable. So here's how I look at it. Put up tents like they did in Arizona a while back. Remember the sheriff down there who put up the tents and he made the inmates wear pink, which they hated, all in an effort to make you realize this is not a place you ever want to end up. So put up a tent, maybe some fans, because remember what Florida is. Florida is a swamp that we decided to develop. That's what Florida is. So the Everglades is actually a swamp that they haven't developed because it's got all kinds of wildlife and stuff in it, many of which are alligators and pythons. So other than a fence, a 12-foot fence with concertina wire on top of it, what better outside guards could you have than hungry alligators and 18-foot female pythons who need food? I think it's brilliant. What a great use of an abandoned airstrip in the middle of the Everglades.
I also love the name Alligator Alcatraz.
Put up the temporary tents. If it makes you feel better, pump a little bit of air into them. I was reminded of this, and I'm not comparing the two facilities, but when I went to Circus Flora, I took the grandkids, right? It was a hot day. That tent gets hot. Mm-hmm. Now they've got big air conditioning units outside that pump air into the tent, but it only goes up so high. It's like there's a demarcation line. If you're in the first two or three rows, you get a little bit of that air. If you're sitting any higher, the heat becomes oppressive on a hot day. And I think Circus Floor is over now, but that's what the tents could be like. Pump a little bit of air in there if it makes you feel better. But for the most part, if they're a little bit uncomfortable, who cares? They're not here legally. They're on their way out the door. It's a temporary holding facility until we can get them on an airplane and fly them back to wherever the hell they came from.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
It'll be interesting to see how this whole thing goes down because, like you said, there will be people who are fighting against this, saying that it's inhumane and that you can't house them there and that's not fair and all of these different things, because a lot of people don't look at these illegals as criminals. They somehow want to discount the fact that they crossed our border and bypassed all the typical things that many other people who came here and went that legal route to become citizens of the United States had to go through the time, the money. I've never gone through that process, obviously, so I don't know what that entails, but I imagine that's a very time-consuming and at times expensive process to become a citizen. And people, that's why the woman we talked to, Mark, who came over here from Africa, Evelyn.
Mm-hmm.
Is so passionate about the United States. You have this pride here in our country, I think, because you went through a lot to become a citizen, because it meant that much to you. You didn't just hop the border and say, well, I deserve it. I should be here and I should have all the benefits that other people have and me.
Kim, shame on you. There's no such thing as an illegal human being. Don't you hear the left say that? No human being's illegal. Don't refer to them as illegal.
They are
illegal. If somebody breaks into your house and you didn't invite them, they're there illegally. Same with our border.
I don't care how you slice that. If you came in here without permission, you're here illegally. Try that in any other country in the world. Try that at the Vatican. I'm sorry. I haven't drawn a complete conclusion on Pope Leo yet, but I did see him pretty critical the other day of our immigration policies. I'm sorry. You have a wall around the Vatican. I've been there to visit. Getting into the Vatican is not easy. You have to be vetted. You have to go on an official tour, and there are armed guards with huge knives everywhere. It's one of the most secure places on earth. You can't just walk into the Vatican and set up a tent and sleep there. You can't do that in Mexico. Mm-hmm. You can't do it in Germany. Now, you might be able to do it in some parts of Europe because they've got such liberal open borders over there in some places. But most sovereign nations have immigration policies. The United States has to have a common sense immigration policy. I don't know why they keep saying we need to fix our broken immigration system. There's nothing broken about it. It's just like our gun laws. Our gun laws aren't broken. They're just not enforced. If you enforced the gun laws that were on the books, it would take care of the problem. If you may need to increase mental health laws to make sure that people aren't falling through the cracks who should be in a mental asylum, and instead that's not in their records anywhere, so the FBI lets them buy a weapon. Those are things you need to fix. But those are minor. We have a southern border. You have to go through a checkpoint to be allowed in. If you haven't gotten that approval in your home country first, you can't come in. And if you do come in anyway, you're here illegally. We're going to ship you home. It's a simple system, and it should work the way it is.
Imagine if we took the same approach that homeowners have with the castle law, where if there's an intruder coming into your home, you're able to use deadly force.
Sure.
Imagine if that was the same approach we took with people crossing our border, as you just, they're coming across and you just boom, 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 boom,
you're
shoot
heartless,
them.
Kim.
I'm not saying we
you're
do that. So I'm just heartless. Saying, technically, if you're looking at it the same way of someone's intruding into our home, our country, they're intruders. They are here illegally.
Yeah.
We have to do everything we can to protect ourselves.
You know I'm on board with that. It would certainly send a chilling message to the rest of them. But last month, I understand, was the first month in recent history, that maybe the history of my lifetime, when there were zero people caught and released into our country, down from, what, 200,000 a year ago? So Joe Biden could have been doing this all along, and he just didn't want to. You don't need to change the law. You need to enforce the laws that we have on the books. So I hope a year from now, we're reporting back to you in Kim on a Whim that we have Alligator Alley up and running. I have pictures of it, and I get to see the little snakes swimming through the water outside of it as security guards. Wouldn't that be great?
I just am picturing like the Austin Powers scene where they are like, get the sharks with the freaking laser beams attached to their heads. That's what we need.
It's why
sharks with laser beams.
It's why Alcatraz was so effective, right? Because supposedly only a couple people ever escaped, and we don't even know if they made it to shore because they never found them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
you make it very difficult to escape, and that will likely deter some, at least some people.
Of a prison. That's why it's a prison. You don't ever want to go there or go back if you've been there. It ought to be that uncomfortable for sure. All right, coming up, I want to play you some of this sound from Candace Owens, if you haven't heard it. Also, we haven't really talked about this yet. One reason Andrew Bailey's coming on this morning is he wants the sheriff of St. Louis to resign by noon today, and the sheriff has already released his response to that. So we got a little confrontation that's about to happen, and we'll find out what Andrew Bailey says about that when we have him on here live this morning at about 8:08.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We'll be right back. Can you believe it? Ethan just got a wow out of both of us here. Michael Jackson died 16 years ago.
That's 2009.
Crazy.
I know. I just, the time just seems to fly these days. It's hard to believe he's been gone that long. Remember when they did that tour with him and they did it like with lasers and it looks like him dancing on the stage?
Like a hologram,
stuff. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Anyway, I've been watching this meltdown from people on the right. And I said this off the top of the show, but I can't wrap my brain around it. Mark Levin, I thought I printed this out, but I can't find it. Mark Levin went off on Twitter or Facebook, one of the two. He released a statement about Steve Bannon and attacking Bannon for attacking the president. And he said, basically, you never supported Donald Trump. That wasn't what this was about. You called him a felon. You've been in prison, God knows what for. This man pardoned you, for God's sake, and you still stab him squarely in the back over this situation with Iran and Israel, all because of his support of Israel. And when I look at a map of that region, Michelle and I were looking at this the other day when we were watching coverage of the bombing in Iran. If you look at Israel and you, let's say you highlighted that state, the state of Israel, in red, and you put everything else around it in black or blue, you would see that Israel exists as an island of democracy, right? And certainly for its Jewish religion, it is an island surrounded by Arab nations, several of which have declared they will not rest until that island is decimated, destroyed, turned into another Arab state. They hate the fact that Israel exists, and they have vowed to destroy it. Now, you don't have to go that far back in history to remember when Israel was created and how it was carved out and the purpose of it being there as the Jewish homeland. It's biblical. It was there a long time before. There was never anything called Palestine. It's been there thousands of years. For them to argue that it shouldn't exist is stupid. And for us not to support them is stupid. Stupid. And yet people like Steve Bannon, who I've agreed with on a lot of things, and Candace Owens, who I used to seem to agree with on a lot of things, have both lost their collective minds because of their hatred of Israel. And now, of course, Bannon has his own hatred of Mark Levin for daring to challenge him on this. Listen.
Tel Aviv Levin. Tel Aviv Levin is he's big mad. He's big mad. Big mad because he didn't, as a spokesmodel for a foreign nation, they didn't get what they want, President Trump. And you saw why Bibi can't be trusted, Netanyahu can't be trusted.
See? He's mad at Benjamin Netanyahu. Candace Owens had a meltdown yesterday as well, attacking Donald Trump, saying she's not sad she voted for him, but she's sad she encouraged other people to vote for him. Go to cut seven.
You done with Donald Trump, or could you see a way that you would end up perhaps voting for him? Oh, yeah, he can't run again, obviously, but would you support him publicly again?
So I want to be clear. I don't regret voting for Donald Trump above Kamala. I think he was the better candidate, certainly a better candidate above Joe Biden. But what I will say is that he's been a chronic disappointment. And I feel embarrassed that I told people to go vote for him because this wasn't going to happen. And it is happening.
Donald Trump has been a chronic embarrassment to Candace Owens because he supports Israel. Steve Bannon, if those aren't anti-Semitic comments, I guess I'm not quite sure what or at least attitudes, I guess I'm not quite sure what the definition of it is. But here's what my argument would be to a Candace Owens or a Steve Bannon, or in some cases, a Tucker Carlson. I don't think Tucker is as opposed to Israel as these two are. What he's opposed to is some idea of the U.S. continuing to be in armed conflict somewhere around the world. Well, the last time I checked, we're not. As Mark Wayne Mullen pointed out, there were no boots on the ground.
There was not a single airplane injured. They didn't even know we were there till things started exploding. And then suddenly our men and woman were back in the United States, safe and sound across the state here at Whiteman Air Force Base. You know who they sound like? Here's who they sound like.
Here, and the bottom line here is the way that we know that Iran did not have nuclear weapons is that if they had nuclear weapons, Israel would not attack them. The reason they're trying to get nukes, and probably Saudi Arabia is trying to get them, is because an expansionist power in their region keeps threatening them and actually bomb them. And the bottom line, I don't think it's okay that Israel has nukes either. Bottom line is Israel does not even subject its nuclear weapons to the IAEA.
So Joy, you heard Joy Reid's argument there. Steve Bannon and Candace Owens are on the same page as crazy Joy Reid, who just described Israel in that soundbite yesterday on CNN as an expansionist power who's trying to expand their state in the Middle East. It makes me laugh. I don't even know how. I can't wrap my brain around how you could look at Israel, which just wants to be left alone to live in peace without people blowing themselves up in the town square and lobbing mortars in on them as an expansionist state. Mm-hmm. The only time they expanded is when somebody attacked them in 1967. Not only did they kick their butts, they pushed them back 10 miles and they kept the territory. Mm-hmm. That's when they expanded.
And I understand not everyone lives by the Bible, but if you've read the Bible, you've seen the territory that was given to Israel was supposed to be far, far, far greater than what it is today.
I just don't know who these people are. I don't know what's motivating them to act like this, but I'm not on board with them at all. Coming up, we're going to talk to Mike Tobin from Fox News. He is live in Tel Aviv this morning with the latest on the ceasefire. We'll be back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.